Blog Talk Radio.
Just, how's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict on the show?
Gentlemen, the only question is, not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
What's going on, everybody? Primetime Profits officially. We're back after a false start on the offense, 5-yard penalty. That's Greg.
All right. So, so I guess we're just talking right about the Derrick Rose stuff right away.
Dead. He gone.
Yes. Well, it's funny because now, like, everyone's freaking out about this injury, but, like, the ACL, they're like, eh, he'll be back. This is actually, like, his most minor injury he's had for his knees. But this one, they're like, oh my God, he's done. He's never going to be the same. But this is like the whole thing with that surgery that they did, because they repaired it instead of cutting it out, was like the odds of it happening was really high. But there's nothing worse than it was when he tore the meniscus the first time.
Yeah, it's like the overall, it's like a very minor injury, really, in the long term. Like he could come back and be great. But at this point, you got to kind of move on mentally if you're a Bulls fan. I know I am. Like, whatever. I love the guy. I always will. You know, but he's like the greatest one and done in the history of sports.
Yeah, basically. The whole thing is with the honestly, I blame the entire Chicago Bulls medical staff for the re-injury, because they should have, last year when they did the meniscus repair, they should have never done the repair, because the options with the repair was, you know, like long term, it's better. But then if you don't do repair and cut it out, you know, then in the short term, it's going to be better than ever, and then the odds of re-injuring is really low. And the way everything's, you know, set up, there's so many reasons why they should just cut it out. For one, Derrick Rose is like an unhealthy guy. Like, he's not, like, the odds of him healing right and something going right is not going to happen. And then number two is his attribute set. He's not going to be good when he's old, because he can't shoot. So you definitely want him to be as good as possible in the short term. And then number three, this team right now is as good as it's going to be. Pau Gasol is only going to get older. It's going to be harder and harder as time goes on to try and develop a better team. So they definitely should have opted for the removal rather than the repair. That was a really dumb decision. That's the only reason why all this happened anyway.
Well, look at D-Wade. He had his out, I think, in high school or college, one of the two. And he played fine. Yeah, now he's shot and can't move and his knees are done. But whatever, he had a really great career out of having that removed. So I think if he would have had that removed, we wouldn't even be talking about that right now. I mean, we'd still be like, oh, well, the Bulls are in the title shot. I mean, there's still a chance he can come back for the playoffs, but he's been bad outside of a few stretches and a few games. Really, he hasn't been that great. He's been pretty bad. He shot, since the All-Star break, he shot 25% from the field. Like, that's awful. That's, you know, go to China and play his stats.
Oh, yeah, but with, like, Wade, too, at least he has a shot where with him would make more sense. But even still, those recovery meniscus surgeries are such a low percentage for being successful. It's a huge waste of time for somebody like Derrick Rose, when somebody like him and his bad knees, like, it's just not going to happen. Like, that was a really bad decision by the medical staff.
And the worst part about this entire ordeal is not even LeBron skating into the finals again. It's just the fact that now Thibodeau will probably get blamed for something that he has nothing to do with. that people are going to just get rid of. They're going to get rid of Thibodeau for some bullshit thing, and the Bulls are going to be back in permanent NBA hell.
Yeah, also going back with the whole Tom Thibodeau thing, like honestly, it doesn't make any sense because, like, all the teams he coached with before, like the 90s Knicks and then the Rockets and then the Celtics, like, none of those guys got hurt. And even, like, the Bulls in 2011, like, 2011, he drove everybody into the ground like crazy, and there were, like, no injuries. There were, I mean, of course, there, you know, like, Boozer, like, spraying his ankle a couple times, but that's going to happen, like, all the time. There were no major injuries that entire year. Nobody got hurt. Everyone played crazy minutes, and everyone got driven in the ground. They ran practice full percent, and that's really the last year that Garpax and everybody actually let him run full percent. And then also when you look at a guy like Luol Deng, he had problems staying healthy his entire career until Thibodeau came here. Like, it was major injury after major injury. And then guys like Luol Deng, when they finally meet up with Tom Thibodeau, then finally – and Thibodeau ran him into the ground like crazy. So, if anything, with Deng, the more minutes he played, the less he got injured.
Yeah, and Thibodeau, like, if I was Deng, I would attribute Thibodeau to helping me basically resurrect this career. I mean, I remember when that 2010-2011 season started, we were like, oh, or at least I was going, oh, man, trade Deng now while he's hot so we can get something for him. And then he played like 45 minutes a game the whole year. And he was fine. He never really got hurt. He was his most healthy season ever. He's pretty much been fine ever since that.
Then really going further into the whole Bulls medical staff, especially Luol Deng, like this medical staff has a really bad history. Like, I think, I mean, that's the root of the problem. Tom Thibodeau has really nothing to do with this, because even like Luol Deng, like we remember, you know, obviously the whole spinal tap thing, that was a really dumb decision to go after that. You know, the Bulls had no say in it. Luol Deng had no say in it. They just decided to go ahead and do that at a critical point in the season. And then, you know, that ruined Deng for basically the rest of the year because he could never get in shape again to actually be able to play because he lost so much weight. And then it gets even worse because even before Thibs came here, like in 2009, Deng had a stress fracture, but it was undiagnosed. They had no idea. They just kept saying, just let him play and keep playing through it. And then it kept getting worse. And then he it wasn't until he went to an outside doctor, and then that's when the outside doctor freaked out and found the stress fracture. So Luol Deng, had he not gone to an outside doctor, probably would have just turned into another Kevin Ware eventually.
He would have just turned into a Derrick Rose, basically, and just kept falling apart. And, you know, oh, my God. I can't believe we're even here again. I'm fatigued talking about the Derrick Rose injury. It's like, now that it's back, here we are. We're just back in 2013, waiting again. But at some point, it's, you know, they got 2 years left in his contract. He makes crazy money. So realistically, he's not going anywhere. So our entire process now is waiting for Derrick Rose again. I'm just like floored. What a crazy dark night in Chicago, because you had Patrick Kane go down with, he's going to be out for 12 weeks, so probably he could come back into the second round of the playoffs, which would be nice. So that, who was probably going to win the MVP, the best player in hockey, leaps and bounds above everybody this year, gets hurt, goes down, premier player in the NHL. Then Derrick Rose, the only way to win a championship is if Derrick Rose is great again, he goes down 2 hours later. I think Chicago's cursed. I think the Cubs' curse is broken, and now it's just on every other team in sports.
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably take that trade, just get, like, a Cubs title, and then Cubs World Series, and then just, you know, like, end all the curses, and then we're, like the reset button.
That'd be nice. I'll take it.
But it's funny, because now between, like, Cutler and Rose, like, that, like those two guys, like they almost, like, single-handedly, like, destroyed the entire, like, Chicago economy. It's like, and that's so much money for absolutely nothing, right? It's like, that's like $200 million contracts next to each other. That's just terrible.
But at least, I don't even know. It's just, this sucks. Like, that's the only way to explain it, is that it really sucks. Now LeBron gets to go to the finals again and probably win, because I don't know if the Golden State Warriors are going to be that great team come the finals.
Yeah, they're already starting to lose more often. It's like when they first started. It's probably because teams are starting to figure them out and stuff.
He's got to close out on the shooters and make them put the ball on the floor.
Yeah, basically. And also, too, like, going into this whole, you know, not Tom Thibodeau's fault thing, but the medical staff, like, even with Luol Deng, like, at other times, too, he was cleared to play with, like, a fractured thumb, and that resulted in him tearing more ligaments, and that's why he needed that surgery at the end of the year, was because of all that damage. So this medical staff is just terrible. And then there's another time in the 2011 playoffs where Omer Sheikh was cleared to play when he was playing on a broken leg, so that could have been another Kevin Ware accident. And then Noah was cleared to play in the 2012 playoffs with a bad ankle sprain, and then that left him out for 3 months, and that's why coming into next year he wasn't as good a shape. And Rose, you know, has been constantly complaining about this medical staff. Like, it goes back to when he was complaining about them taping his ankles all the time when he didn't want them taped and everything.
And Rose has a new personal trainer after the ACL injury, and this guy apparently doesn't know what he's doing either for Rose. So it's like you have these terrible medical people all around Derrick Rose trying to, like, coddle him and make him good. And this just goes to show, manage the minutes. And people were getting mad that him and Noah were in at the end of that game. Like, let's be real for a minute. These guys can't practice. When are they supposed to build chemistry again? Sure, they used to play together 2 years ago. Derrick Rose hasn't played in forever. Him and Noah have no chemistry. The team, the starters don't have any chemistry. They have to play in the garbage time because he can't practice.
Well, yeah,
you can practice like 15 minutes a week with the guard packs. I want to knock John Paxson out.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, too, with the whole minutes thing, like even just from, like, the only time that makes any sense is if you're an old veteran and you can't improve anymore, like a Pau Gasol or like a Ray Allen or you know, pretty much just any old veteran where it's like, or, you know, like 90s Jordan or like anybody where it's like, you know, they're maxed out, like playing more minutes isn't going to do anything for them. That's the only time when that makes any sense. Otherwise, all you're doing is when you add up all those minutes, like, you're just making yourself progressively worse over time compared to if you were in all those minutes. Because especially a guy like Derrick Rose, where in order to get back, he needs to play as much as possible. So if you play him like 30 minutes or like, let's say if Derrick Rose doesn't get hurt and plays 40 minutes a game for like 2 months versus, you know, you're really conservative and only playing like 20 minutes a game for 2 months, like that 40-minute Derrick Rose is going to blow the 20-minute Derrick Rose away. Like that's just how it is. Like, the more you practice, the more you play, the better you get. Like, you can't get better without practicing, like, or playing or whatever. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like you don't get back to your, like, MVP self by playing, like, a couple minutes a game and never practicing. Like, it's never going to happen. It doesn't work like that. That's not how you got back to that in the first place.
You need repetition to be great. It's the bottom line. And they're not getting it. The team's not getting it. That's why they're not good. That's why they have no chemistry. The switching on defense isn't as good as it was in prior years. Their entire overall, the Tom Thibodeau theory, I heard someone was talking to me today on Twitter, and they were saying, do you think they're not buying into Tom Thibodeau's system? I think they're buying into Tom Thibodeau's system. They can't practice the Thibodeau system anymore. You have to practice in order to be good. But when we're talking about practice,
it's like for like guitars, like if it's like, hey, if you play too much, then you're going to get arthritis when you're older, so if you want to be better, you can only play like once a week. You got to, like, slow it down.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but then you're taking, like, 50 years to play, like,
yeah, but then it's like in 50 years, you're, like, odds of, like, injury are even higher. And then, like, in 50 years, you're probably going to be too old and senile.
You have gout.
You're going to know how to move your fingers anymore.
You're going to have gout and carpal tunnel because we all use computers.
Exactly. But no, also, too, like, I was realizing, like, losing Thibodeau is going to be way worse than we think because, like, if you think back before Tom Thibodeau in 2010, like, Rose wasn't even that good until he got Tom Thibodeau. Then all of a sudden, Derrick Rose went from, like, you know, a pretty good point guard to MVP. Like, that's 2010 Derrick Rose without – and look at Joakim Noah. Like, Joakim Noah was, like, almost a nobody in – he actually was a nobody in 2010. And then 2011, all of a sudden, he's, like, this all-star guy. So post-Tom Thibodeau is going to be a disaster. And also, going back to this team not having any defense, it doesn't make any sense from a roster standpoint because – you look back at 2013 when they were still actually able to practice with that Nate Robinson year. I mean, that was a horrible lineup. Like you had Nazi Muhammad, Carlos Boozer, and then Dang, and I forget who was that shooting guard, and then Nate Robinson at point guard. But it's like if you just look at that from a roster standpoint, if you have like Joakim Noah's improvement over Nazem Muhammad because Joakim was injured during the playoffs that year, and then you have Powell over Boozer, that's a huge improvement offensively and defensively, and then Jimmy Butler is even a better defender than Dang, and I forget the shooting guard, but Tony Snell's gonna be better than him, and then at point guard I mean, Nate Robinson versus Aaron Brooks, it's they're just different play styles. But still, like, the defensively, if
Ronnie
that was
Brewer.
If that was like the well, he didn't start, but he only played like
I'm
a little
just
bit.
Saying, in general, Ronnie Brewer in place of
although he
no.
he was gone in 2013 by then though.
Oh, I thought we were talking. See, Skype broke up when you were talking, so I didn't know what year you were referencing.
Oh yeah, well, the Skype break might have been on just your end, or maybe it was mine too. I have no clue. We'll have to see in the archive, but yeah, that 2013 team, like, that roster is terrible. Like, the roster has nothing to do with Thib's philosophy. Like, this roster is way better than before. Potential-wise, like, this team's defense should be better than it was even in 2011, or at least really close to it with a lot better offense. Even
this team could have won the whole thing.
Even with – well, not winning the whole thing without Rose, I was going to say, even without Rose, like this team's the offense should be overall better than it was in 2011, and the defense should be almost as good. Like the Bulls should have won like 60 games this year, and if Rose is out, like maybe 55. I mean, especially too in 2012, that year when Rose was out most of the year, and the Bulls won so many games. I mean, it's the same thing every year with Thibodeau, and then you take away his practice, and now you see what happens. To me, it's almost like Paxton wants to intentionally sabotage Thibodeau by like, oh well, here, okay, so we're gonna try to make you look like as bad of a coach as possible. Here's the worst medical staff of all time. We're gonna clear guys with multiple times. We're gonna clear guys with broken legs. So then if they get hurt, it's all your fault. Oh, and then you can't run your practice anymore. Good luck trying to win any games, so then we can have an excuse to let you go at the end of the year.
And then they're gonna instantly regret that when he goes to the Cavaliers, unless the Cavs win the title and don't fire their coach. But like I was saying, this is my dream scenario. Because I know if the Bulls lose Thibodeau, I know me and you are going to pretty much be we're going to be complete Bulls haters at this point until the Varpax is gone, and maybe even new owners, if the ownership would let this go on. Although I will watch Mirotić because the titch is coming. Mirotić rising.
The titch
hashtag Mirotić rising. I started that. So when that catches on down the road, you heard it here first on the Primetime Profits, my friend. But,
yeah, with him, Tony Snell, it's going to be and Jimmy Butler, it's going to be interesting. But tonight, in the short term, like, they really need to just have like Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol, and really just those two, and that's pretty much it. Like, those two, they have to set up to create their own shots. Oh, and then sometimes give it to Mike Dunleavy and see if he can create a shot and get hot. But otherwise, like, you can't do this, you know, like facilitative offense with this lineup, because it doesn't work unless you draw a double team. So you have to have shot creators. Otherwise, if no one can create their own shot and draw a double team, this offense just doesn't work.
Yeah, and the thing with this lineup, I've been saying it for a while, and I've probably said it on the show before, I'm going to say it again. If I'm saying it in different contexts now. But Derrick Rose is not there. Give the ball to Powell every single possession and let him get in the paint, then set your offense up from there. Do what the Spurs do with Duncan. Powell's probably even a better passer than Tim Duncan.
Powell's better than Tim Duncan right now.
I know. Well, he's not as good of a defender, but offensively, scoring is
better.
Not
like overall, but he gets more blocks at least.
Duncan's probably a better rim defender overall, though.
I'm just saying he's a better rim defender. Powell at least gets more blocks.
But regardless, offensively, give him the ball. Let Snell and Butler do their thing. And if nothing's happened, give the ball to Butler and Craze on a shot. But I think the first initial look should be Powell posted up in the post. Posted up in the paint. If he's got a shot, take it. But try, like, you know how the Spurs run their offense. Mimic that. Not that the Bulls have the same shooting talent. Although, I don't know, they kind of do, because Butler's three is pretty consistent. Aaron Brooks is pretty consistent. Mirotić can hit threes. He's hit 57 threes off the bench this year. Snell can't miss. I haven't seen Snell miss in like 3 months or 3 weeks. Not 3 months. 3 months would be awesome.
It felt like 3 months.
I know. It's been a long time. And then make buckets. I mean, I don't even know if he's any good at basketball, but let him see a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's mostly because, you know, he's same problem. He's hurt bad. Oh, and that. And by the way, his he had the same injury too with the torn meniscus, and they did a repair too. So I wouldn't be surprised if he re-tears his also, because they did the same dumb surgery.
Most likely.
God, so this is just like a total disaster. Oh, and it gets even worse with this Bulls staff, because it's not even just the medical staff, but even their team chef. It's like this professional chef, Steve Jackson, and like he talks about like all he makes is like fried foods and like and he makes them like eggs and bacon like every single breakfast.
Oh,
and like
cool.
And he makes all their game day meals, all their training and practice meals, and all their airplane meals. So that's at least like every player's like 70% of what they're eating for their overall diet for like the entire season is from this guy. It's nothing but garbage. And he says he has no clue and knows absolutely nothing about nutrition. That's up to their personal dietitian. So yeah, that's our chef over there.
Just think the people who hired that guy are going to be running the team without Thibodeau.
Yeah, we have like some carnival deep fryer who got hired to be our first sports chef.
Oh my God! What? This is just a disaster. Like, I mean, even if Rose comes back, I know everyone will get excited. I'll get excited too. Everyone will. It's a natural reaction.
Well, he's now he's gonna be even worse. So it's like he already was like, he's barely maybe gonna be good enough that they have a shot at the title. Oh, and for people saying like he wasn't turning around, like that's because it's a gradual thing. Like people act like he's gonna come back and like, oh well, if he's not as good as he was, you know, in 2011 in like a couple months, and it's never gonna happen. Like it took him like 3 years in the NBA or 4 years to get to that 2011 level, and he hasn't played in 2 years. So it's like for every year off, you need like a year to get back to where you were before, and he's had 2 years off, so he needs like 2 years of being completely healthy to get back to where he was. And then there's other people too saying that he's not athletically as capable as before, but his vertical is high. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, athletically, he's better than ever. I mean, maybe he's not quite as – I think it's because of his training too, because he put on too much upper body muscle and his legs aren't as big. But, like, he could easily get that back. Like athletically, he was vertical-wise, he was better than ever, but, like, agility-wise too, he had a lot of it back. But he definitely could have gotten it all back. There's no doubt about that. He just needed to play long enough.
Here's what I would tell any Bulls fan who might be going, I don't know how to feel, I don't know what to do with this. And you might not be feeling that way. You might have your mind made up. But to me, I think you gotta emotionally move on from expecting Derrick Rose to be there and expecting Derrick Rose to be there to be the guy all the time. But there's a chance that if they just take the meniscus out, which I don't know if they are. I'm assuming they are, because that makes more sense at
this
point.
It's not the whole thing. It's just like a piece.
Yeah.
But it's not even as much as Wade. Like, Wade, they took out too much. So it's like, that's the only reason why Wade ended early. Like, taking out a little bit really doesn't do much of anything.
But if there's a chance that Derrick Rose could come back and never get re-injured, there's definitely a good chance.
Yeah, and honestly, too, I would argue that this is his best chance of that happening, because this is the least minor of the injuries, and he didn't have any other injuries before. And he this is the longest he's been able to play healthy without getting hurt again. And then this time it's not even him getting hurt. It's just the bad decision of the doctors and, you know, just the bad surgery coming back apart. It's not like he got injured. It's just their surgical job like re-fell apart. It's just the same exact thing as last time, reopened. So now they're just going to cut it out. And then it's going to be, you know, that quick where, like, you know, you're back in practice in 2 weeks and then you're playing again in 6 weeks. And if it's, and even like those surgeries are like so minor that they even like walk out of the surgical room. Like, that's how minor it is. Like, you won't literally walk home.
Which is why he could Westbrook came back very quick from his meniscus thing, and there's a very good chance Rose could be back. But he wouldn't be good if he comes back.
Yeah,
I hope he does, because it would be nice to see Rose not go, oh no, I gotta be 155%. Like, just get back and play. At this point, it doesn't matter. But this is his best chance to stay healthy, I think. I'm not optimistic it's going to happen, and I'm not trying to make anyone grab on any hope. But this is the best shot that Rose could come back and go, okay, now we're finally on the straight. Now he has basically 2 years now in a Bulls uniform where he's going to be the starter. They're not going to get rid of him. They can't get rid of him. His contract's worth too much money, and if he's not a star, you can't get rid of him for that contract. And if he is a star, why would you get rid of him?
There's this. They could do this. It's called Eddie Curry deal. And it's like they still pay him the same amount, but they don't have to pay it all up front right away because, like, I don't know. It's like some argument that they've been injured so much. So like how that works is like after this year, like I think I don't know. Maybe it's like a back loan from the NBA. Like he gets paid, like all of his money he's paid, and then but the Bulls like spread it out over their salary cap for like I mean, so it'd be like. Over the next 5 years, it'd be only like knock off like $8 million to, you know, to add up to that $40 million or whatever. So that's an option, but they'd have to cut them and everything. But the whole thing is like like Garpax isn't going to develop another team. Like Rose landed in their lap. Like that lottery pick was totally rigged. Like there's no way, you know, the Chicago kid with a 1% chance of being picked, you know, obviously just for, I mean, if that's not rigged, it's stupid that it wasn't rigged because just, you know, for logical, you know, business sense, you want that rigged because that would make so much money and probably was. So, I mean, like the only thing Garpax can do is be like, they're the greatest NBA hell, like, GMs of all time. Like they'll get you stuck in NBA hell harder than anybody else. Like that's really all they do. And then that's all they did from, like, 2004 through, like, up until 2011.
They never make any big trades when it's time. Like, remember the Kobe deal. And Kobe came out and admitted recently that he didn't want to go to the Bulls. And basically, I mean, no one said it directly, but Garpax botched that. They didn't want to give up Dang or something. Like, are you kidding me? For Kobe Bryant at that point in time in his prime? But, you know, and then I always made the argument, well, I'm glad that didn't happen because we got Derrick Rose. Looking back at it, I wish we would have got Kobe Bryant because the Bulls would have won championships.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, we still could have gotten, like, Ben Wallace and, like, I mean, they would have figured it out.
It would have worked. When you have Kobe Bryant in his prime, it really, you just need one other good, really good player around and some guys who can shoot and just play smart. But that's going back to, you know, old time talk there.
Yeah, well, but if it was staying in Chicago, though, then it's like wait until Tibbs comes around and like, oh my God, Tibbs and Kobe.
Holy crap, that's like the all time team up right there. Those two guys would love each other.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, though, and like Paxton and Jordan.
Talk about competitive. I mean, the only guy who really challenges Jordan's competitiveness is Kobe. And the only coach who's as competitive as Thibodeau is probably Popovich. So, I mean, that would be I want to do that in 2K. I got to do that in my league.
And even with the whole minutes thing, even Popovich runs that same scheme thing I was talking about before where the only people's minutes he restricts are, like, the veterans, like you know, the old veterans where it's like, if, like, playing you isn't going to do anything. Like, you're not going to improve anymore. You're already maxed out. So, but then the younger guys, he'll let, like, Kawhi Leonard play the whole game. He doesn't restrict his minutes. I mean, unless they're up by, like, 100, but Tibbs will take him up to 100, up 100, too. That's the only time. Otherwise, he plays them, too. So it's like, it's all about your development. That's it. That's the only factor in judging whether you should go back in or not. That if you're not 100%. But if you're 100%, then if that's the only factor is, are you still in development? Are you still improving? Then, yeah, go ahead and play, obviously. Otherwise, you're just making the development process longer and you're making yourself worse. Honestly, I would say that restricting minutes in the development phase only ups your chance of injury because then there's higher duration for you to get injured because your total minutes are down. But it's like then if that extends your playing time, then it's like you're going to be worse for longer. And then during that longer period of time, you have more chances to get injured, even like in practice and stuff. And, you know, obviously you're just going to reach your maximum potential so much slower. And it just cuts your potential, too. It cuts your NBA ceiling. Like, your total overall ability is going to be cut short every time you keep doing that, and especially when you do the practice and the cut minutes, and you're going to be just average, like, at best.
How people can – I'm still floored at the idea that people can sit there and blame Thibodeau for this. Like, the ACL injury, that was just going to go. That's one of those things that he had so many different injuries. In it. I mean, he had an ankle and he had the hamstring. And you're favoring this and you're favoring that. Something was going to happen. A big injury was coming after that season or somewhere along the line. Like Derrick Rose's ACL was going to tear regardless. That was a ticking time bomb. And honestly, like you said, it's ridiculous. We tore the ACL. We're like, it's going to be fine. No, they're not even worried.
Well, not me. I was the most worried about that. And then the meniscus, I was like, oh, my God. Now, this one, I'm the least worried about.
Yeah, this one's literally only – it can only get better.
Yeah, this is the most minor injury he's had in the last 3 years.
Why are the two most negative Chicago fans in the history of Chicago – being the only optimist talking right now?
That's because, like, all the other fans, like, don't know what they're talking about. Like
they're all idiots.
Yeah. And plus, too, like, you know, with Thibs, like Thibs is only, like, Thibs isn't a doctor. Like that's the whole thing. It's like Garpax are trying to play, like, doctors here. Like, oh, you can't play these minutes. Like, so they just get a better medical staff, and they'll judge the minutes. Don't get medical staff to say, hey, broken leg, yeah, go out and play. Like
yeah,
that's not even a joke. That's happening
broken
twice
leg.
Now.
Here's a deep-fried turkey.
Like, exactly.
No,
yeah, broken leg. Hey, a broken leg. Just eat a couple turduckins and go out and play. It's like,
here's
it doesn't
deep
work
fried
like that.
Oreos. Here's some deep fried Oreos and a bag of M&Ms. Hippic practice course. It's like, oh, cool.
And just make sure you get at least 350 milligrams of bacon a day and you're good to go. Like that's literally what it is.
Here's some deep fried chocolate bacon. It's like,
it turns out with a pork soda and remember to tape your ankles and you're all set.
Remember to lather up in that bacon grease. If we could just be the trainers of the Bulls, at least diet wise for me and you, if we could take them over and put them on raw food, Derrick Rose would be like, he'd be like, it would just be Penny Hardaway again.
Well, and my training too, because I forget who it was, but something brought up, some people are just, you know, like body wise, they're just not built for like sports. Like they're just going to get injured all the time. Like I'm like the prime example of that. Like I had the worst like genetics ever, but the only reason why I am able to get good at sports is because of my training and just, you know, the mental ability to figure it out. So it's like for me to get like as good as I was able to get athletically for how horrible, like, I mean, if you just look at, like, your family history and, like, you know, how you compare to everybody else, I blow everyone away about, like, thousands of times. Like that's, I mean, it's just, that's the whole thing. It's, like, it's your genetics and then how you train and then your nutrition. And then, like, you know, the guys like LeBron, well, it's, like, it doesn't really matter what he does. But then, you know, other guys were, like, trying to think of, like a Manu Ginobili or something. Like, it's more... I mean, it's comes down to the mental game. Then you kind of have to play things different.
That's a guy who can't play those minutes legitimately. There's a reason Thibodeau never made him a starter outside of a handful of years because he couldn't play the minutes. Manu Ginobili straight up says it.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing too is like that's like all Thibs does is like, okay, what do the doctors say? And then he if the doctor's clear, and they say, oh, then he asks the player, how do you feel? And then if they say yes, like what else is he supposed to do? That's not his fault. That's medical staff fault. Like Thibs honestly, like the deeper I look into this, like he's really doing absolutely nothing wrong. Like in this whole thing, like I haven't found anything that he's doing wrong. Like he has weaknesses on his offensive scheme, but it's still workable and can still win a title if you have, you know, enough shot creators. And also going with the whole shot creator thing, another good one would be Etuan Moore because he's another shot creator, even though he's not as good overall as a player. But this offense, shot creators are more important.
Yeah, that's been the Bulls' biggest problem. That's why Nate Robinson was so great because he was the only guy that could dribble around and get a shot. Him and Jimmy Butler, and well, especially Jimmy Butler now. Like honestly, Jimmy Butler is better without Derrick Rose.
Yeah, and there's other guys too where it's like, well, like Nate Robinson was a good example. But like you could have a good player start over him, but if he can't create a shot, Nate Robinson is going to look way better in this offense because that's just how it's run.
I think Joakim Noah looks better without Derrick Rose, honestly. He looked better tonight. Granted, the Bulls lost to the Bobcats or the Hornets.
Yeah, but Bulls, like, mentally didn't look too bad. Like, they were taking all the shots. They just weren't hitting anything.
Mike Dunleavy got shut out tonight.
Well, they're just, like no team. Like, this is, like team chemistry-wise, this is exact opposite of 2011. This is, like, all the talent in the world this is, like basically, Thibs is like a screaming ghost. Like, that's it. It's just, like, the Thibs of the past. Like, that's this defense, because they don't even practice it. It's just, like, here's what I want you to do, but I can't show you, and you can't practice it, but in-game, we're going to try it out. Like, that's all it is. It's horrible.
The ghost of defense past.
That's exactly what this is.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, also going with the whole saying that Rose needs Thibs and Thibs needs Rose, they're already like defending each other. Like Thibs is saying something how he'll defend
1 minute.
He'll defend Rose to the death, and then oh, you timed it for the 40-minute thing.
Yeah, I just look at the when it hits 11:45, it's over.
I see. Yeah, and then Rose said that Thibs, you know, or I forgot what he said, but basically they're already defending. Like they need each other because they're each other's perfect match. I was saying this before. If you want to go back and listen to those episodes,
and Derrick Rose is a robot when it comes to basketball. Like he just, it's all about basketball. With Thibs, it's all about basketball. So it's a perfect team.
Yeah, I honestly think I'm also gonna make the prediction that this Bulls team will never win a title unless they get a new medical staff.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. The Garpacks won't win a title. How about that?
It's like, I want to say that, but sometimes I wonder who's in charge of hiring the medical staff. Is it the owners or Garpack? Because if it's the owners, then Garpacks can't do anything about it.
Garpacks.
Yeah, if the Garpacks hire the medical owner, then yeah. But that makes no sense. Why would they hire medical people who are, like, the ultimate, like,